truths than the Bible has provided. Now, it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You may be seated, and the children go to children's church.
Parenting is so hard. Kids take everything literal. For instance, if you said, we're going to go to the movies Saturday night, they got everything planned, and then a storm comes up. It's lightning, thunder, tornado warnings, flood warnings, and you go, we're not going to go to the show on Saturday night, like we said, because of storms. And you know what the kids will say? But Mom, Dad, you said it's storming. So? We could get blown away by a tornado. So? I mean, Dad and Mom, you said we're going to the movie. That's what you said. See, sometimes for kids, everything is so literal and so perfect, they just want it to be simple. The problem is, with parenting, life is never that simple. Some things in life just aren't that simple, as bad as we want them to be. Sometimes life's more like the weather, totally unpredictable. Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, studying a difficult topic, divorce, the church, give us your wisdom and give us your grace as we move forward in listening to your word. In your holy name, amen. So we're on the Sermon on the Mount. And some people think the Sermon on the Mount is just larger-than-life language. We can never hope to achieve it. But Jesus spoke these words expecting us to be able to follow it. And he gives the Beatitudes, the blessings. And then he talks about the Old Testament, that it's not gone. It's going to be fulfilled in Jesus. And then he talks about major issues in life. Just like today, back then people had questions. And he goes through some six big issues. And we started those last week. And today we're doing a big one. It's divorce. And it can be a contentious issue. In some ways, I'm glad it is, because in some places, they don't even care. It doesn't matter. Anything goes. But if we want to follow Scripture, we need to read it. But sometimes we're like kids. We just want it to be simple. And Jesus, you know, he often tells us things. He doesn't give us definitions, and he doesn't fully explain it. He kind of just tells us enough. And then he goes on. But we just want it simple. And some things really are simple. And some things aren't. So, we're going to go to divorce. Matthew 5:31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual morality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So what do people say? We just read the Bible and do what it says. Have you ever heard that? No one does that. And I can prove it to you. See, first of all, the Bible, it's not like an employee manual. You know, an employee manual says, like, you got to be in at 8 o'clock. It doesn't say 8-ish. You know, you got to be in around 8. So if you get there at 8:15, the boss is like, oh, that's kind of 8-ish. The other boss says, no, after 8:10. No, it just says 8 o'clock. It's a hard number. There's parts of the Bible that are like that. You know, don't kill. Well, then even then we talked about, killing's different than murdering. I mean, in wartime, you kill. You have to. It's war. It's different than murder. And, you know, Last week we talked about gouging your eyes out and cutting your hands off. And another example, I mean, this one's tough. 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. No, come on. You've hated someone, haven't you? Is there a Ted Bundy out there? Hated a lot of people. And you know that a murderer has no eternal life residing in him. So have you ever hated somebody? Only a few. No, wait. Only those who deserved it. Woo! Baby. I'm holy. Okay. Now, earlier I prayed. And here's how I prayed. I crossed my hands and I bowed my head. Did I hear any complaints about the way I prayed? Is there anybody who's going to complain about the way I prayed? Speak now or forever hold your peace. 1 Timothy 2:8. Therefore, women, you're exempt. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger disputing. Not only can I not hate, I'm supposed to raise my hands when I pray. Why does everybody ignore that Bible verse? So am I playing games here? No. Are we ignoring the Bible or misunderstanding the Bible? Yeah, sometimes we do. We can have selective inconsistency. And sometimes it's difficult to understand. And if we don't raise our hands when we pray, is that sin? But, you know, we say, well, it says greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, that's cultural. I mean, you know, see, this can be difficult. And I'm not trying to play games here and make you lose trust in your Bible. I'm a pastor. I believe the Bible. But just sometimes we need to be a little less arrogant about how we approach things and give a little grace. We have to understand the context. We need consistency. And we need to be gracious. You know, last week, if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. Like, what are you going to do with it? Keep it in a jar? Well, it's good that you gouged your eye, but you should have thrown it away. I do not, and I never have, will advocate gouging eyes. It's hyperbole. It's an embellishment. It's to emphasize, to make a point. Now, hyperbole works to show the seriousness of the issue. Because sometimes, you know, whether it's lust, pornography, we can try to blow it off and say, it's not a big deal. You know, I'm going to go oogle girls at the mall. It's eye candy. And Jesus is like, no, it's wrong. You should gouge your eyes out. And you're like, whoa, it's not serious? You know, some guys will joke, yeah, the first look's not sin, it's the second. Hey, guys, so make the first look last. I don't think that's the way it works. Now, so should you gouge eyes or should you cut your hands off? No, that's not the point. Now, again, as I said last week, if it really came down to that, if it came down between this hand and this eye and heaven or hell, take the hand, take the eye. But see, the issue is it doesn't. So, why do we take some verses a little more serious than others? Because we understand the context, we understand the hyperbole, and sometimes it is difficult to understand. And just because we're talking about divorce, just because some people are inconsistent, doesn't give us the right to be inconsistent. Well, you're inconsistent, so I can be with divorce. No. We need to take Scripture literally, in its context, and we need to, as Christians, we need to follow it. Now, some people sometimes are a little too rigid, and they kind of pick and choose what they're going to be rigid about. First, it's been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. So, as we look at being rigid, So you can divorce, you just have to give a certificate. And why was there a certificate of divorce? Like, was Jesus saying it's okay as long as you give a certificate? No, the context was he was protecting, the Old Testament was protecting women. That way a man couldn't just dump a woman and say, I don't want you anymore, and then she's kind of left in limbo. So the law was like, do it right. If you're going to divorce her, give her a certificate, make it official. You know, I knew somebody who was talking about taxes and gone through a divorce. And the guy made a comment. He goes, yeah, I'm getting taken to the cleaners by my wife. This is, you know, in the 2010 or so. He goes, well, if it was the 70s, I would have cleaned her clock. Things were different back then. Men could do whatever they wanted and got away with it. Now it's the opposite. Things change. We used to allow men get away with a lot of stuff. It used to be, if a man and a woman divorced, he would get the kids, automatic. And then we kind of changed it. We kind of went to, in the 70s, 80s, then the woman could get the kids. Now we're trying to be more balanced. But so the whole issue was, the context then was to protect the woman. Not to be abandoned, just left on the street, helpless. So does this go both ways? Should the woman have done that? Well, in the Jewish world, no. Women really weren't allowed to. In today's world, in the Greco-Roman world, see, Jesus is in the Middle East in Israel, and when the missionaries, when Peter and Paul and the gang, they went into the Greco-Roman world, and women were allowed to divorce. So they'd be addressing it from that way. But it was about protection. And then in 32, but I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, because it's like, oh, as long as I give her a certificate, I'm good. And then Jesus is like, no. If you divorce her, except for sexual immorality, you then make her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. What is sexual immorality? It's more than adultery. Because in verses 27 and 28 before, it used the words adultery. Now it's using a different Greek word, porneia. It's easy to remember because you think pornography versus the word just adultery. It would obviously seem to include adultery. And it seems to have a broader sense. So they say it's sexual immorality. And here's the thing. Here's Jesus. Here's the Bible. They don't define it. How far does it go? Unfaithful, adultery, incest, illicit sex, pornography, sexual abandonment. He doesn't say. But it's bad. So the issue seems to be, when we talk about divorce, you can divorce. You're like, what, Pastor? I'm just telling you what it says. The issue tends to be, more than anything, remarriage. Now, Jesus will say you're divorced because your hearts are hard. You know, because you just got a hard heart. But the real issue seems to be, as a Christian, if you want to follow Scripture, it's remarriage. Not that he's advocating divorce, but he understands we live in a perfect world. So if you want to remarry, and your divorce then should be because of sexual immorality, committing adultery. Otherwise, you commit adultery. But do you really? Is that hyperbole? And I'm going to give you a classic pastoral answer. Sometimes pastors are just like lawyers. Yes or no? Yes, maybe. No, maybe. So if I didn't divorce properly and I remarry, am I committing adultery? Maybe. Okay, if the divorce is unfounded, it's kind of like you're still married, because in the sight of God, you're not divorced, so it's adultery. Yes, but no, because if it's adultery, do I as a pastor then need to tell you if you remarried, you should divorce your spouse and go back to your original? Because if it's adultery, you need to stop it. or I'm allowing you to commit adultery. Well, there's people who say, if you improperly divorced and you remarried, you're committing adultery, and you need to divorce that spouse now. That's just a convoluted jungle. So yeah, it's kind of yes or no. I would never ask somebody who's remarried to divorce because it wasn't done right. It's kind of like kids and parents. You know, kids want a simple answer and parents are like, it's a little more complicated. And some of you look at me like, man, Doug, are you trying to confuse us? No, I'm dealing with real issues in a real world, just like Jesus was. And we want to follow Scripture. Now, here's the issue. God hates divorce. We hate divorce. I really never really seen anybody who's like, oh, divorce, it's the greatest. Well, there's some guys who people are, but they just want out. I still remember watching a video, and it was about divorce. It was called Divorce, More Than Just, you know, Marriage, More Than a Piece of Paper. And this guy was divorced, and he was sitting in his kitchen, man in his 40s, and he's crying, and he literally goes, if I would have realized what my wife and I were doing if we divorced, I never would have done it. I had no idea what we were doing to ourselves, to our marriage, to our kids. So it can be complicated. And where are we going to land the plane? You know, some people are like, Doug, just get to the end. Where's the plane landing? Because we live in a real world. So, not advocating divorce. It's going to happen. And then how do we deal with it? So can you divorce and remarry? Or if you remarry, is it literally adultery, spiritually adultery? If it is adultery, and it says it is, how do we deal with it? Again, I'm not trying to confuse you. We're dealing with two issues. One is selective interpretation, pedantic fundamentalism, wooden literalist, and just saying, I just do what it says. And you'll hear people say that. Doug, why are you making this complicated? Just tell them what it says. Well, I've given you examples. We don't always do that because it's not always that simple. I knew of a pastor. There's a young lady. I think she got divorced at 22. I don't know why. They were 22. They were a mess. Age is no excuse because I know people 42 years old who are a mess and get divorced. So for whatever reasons, they really weren't biblical reasons. They just were a hot mess. They're divorced. She's 22. You know, now she's 24. Well, she wants to date again and remarry. Imagine that. She's a normal woman. And the pastor goes, nope, she can't remarry. It'll be adultery. What? Nope, I just read the Bible. I'm telling you what it says. Now, I can appreciate him taking Scripture seriously. What I don't appreciate is the cavalier and somewhat arrogant attitude of, I just read the Bible and do what it says, and she can't. Yet I want to obey Scripture. Or I'm dealing with not the woodenly literal or the progressive mindset, those who minimize the Bible. Well, that was for then. This is now. Women are different. Men are different. We don't have to really literally follow anything the Bible says. Well, you know, like murder, we're against that. Okay, we're against adultery, but you know, anybody can remarry, and there's no issues, and there's grace, and so don't even worry about it. Neither side is right. So, my goal as a pastor is to be truthful, to wisely navigate this, give godly counsel and advice in a scriptural matter. So, from this picture, divorce in the church. See, if you're not in the church, none of this matters. Okay, sarah, sarah, do whatever you want. Have three husbands. Date three at a time. Marry your horse. I kid you not. Marry your car. Do whatever you want. But we're in the church, and we don't want this. So where do we go from here? Divorce. Now what? Because it's a lonely road. Many of you know this. Some of you maybe don't. I'm divorced. So, here's the issue as a pastor. If I'm not divorced, oh, you don't understand. If I am divorced, oh, you're a hypocrite. It's like I can't win. Or, this is valid. I'm making excuses for my divorce. Because I want, for those of you that don't know, I'm remarried. So am I committing adultery? And what about my three kids? Where's the grace? Am I a bad example? Should you guys have never hired me? Should you fire me? They're like, it's worth thinking about, Pastor. I'm glad you laughed instead of amen. So, two main reasons. Sexual morality, kind of undefined. And remember, it doesn't mean you have to. Well, my wife committed sexual immorality. She cheated on me. I get to divorce her. Yes, you can. I can understand. Scripture would still say you try to fix it. You try to repent. There's a website called smartmarriage.com. They're not Christians. And they advocate, even after adultery, couples can get back together and fight for their marriage. There can be healing and restoration. I would think it'd be very hard. I've never gone through it. I've known people who have. I've known two other couples who have actually divorced and remarried. I mean, those are just difficult things. But sexual immorality would be one legitimate reason for divorce. The next would be abandonment and abuse, and we're going to deal with those next week. It's like a cliffhanger. Stay tuned. I can only deal with so much, but today's more the sexual morality. Next Sunday, we'll deal with abandonment and abuse. So, where are we at today? That's the question. Well, Doug, I'm here now. I messed up. Whatever my sad story is, I've got a sad story. I made mistakes. And I don't really share a lot of the details of my divorce because it involves other people and it's very personal issues. You know, I can technically say she divorced me. To some people that matters, and in a way it should. I can say I fought for my marriage. It's hard to make somebody stay. I still made a lot of mistakes, and there's still things for me to repent about. So if divorced, now what do you do? So if you're saying, Doug, I'm that person who is in a no-fault divorce. I just got divorced because. Yeah, we're immature, or we just hated each other. We couldn't get along anymore. We were just fighting all the time. What can you do? Am I committing adultery that I'm married now? Or if I'm single, can I remarry? The biggest issue, two issues that are going to come up, is grace and repentance. Now, I've done this numerous times on the stage, and I'm going to do it again today. Repentance is, God wants me to go north, and for those on TV or computer, this is south. But God wants me to go that way. Repent is, yeah, I'm really sorry about it, Lord, but, you know, I'll go this way. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is, I'm going to turn around and go the way God wants me to go in spite of what I've been doing. Repentance really means changing it and doing it right. And that's not always so easy. Issues like this, where I was working with a church down in Dallas, and I was interviewing, and I said, I'm divorced. And they said, we don't care. And I said, but I do. And they looked at me. See, because what they were saying, we're not going to hold it against you for the rest of your life. Because some people, once you're divorced, you can never pastor. You know, the joke is, no planting churches, plant potatoes. But I said, okay, I get where you're coming from, but you guys like Christy? And they go, yeah, we love her. So what if I find a hottie down the street? Can I dump her and go with the hottie, the new younger hottie? They're like, no. But I said, you just said you didn't care. Now, we had this conversation. It was not quite so embellished. And they go, no, we would care. I go, see, you do care. And I see what they were getting at, and we explained. We walked through it, and we agreed, and they understood where I was coming from. Because I'm glad they weren't going to hold it against me for the rest of my life, because some people do. I can understand where they're coming from. I just disagree with them. So if you're divorced, not for sexual immorality, not for abandonment, there is grace. But remember, repentance is not a game. It's not like, oh, Doug, I'm in a lousy marriage. Well, you shouldn't divorce. I'm going to divorce because it's an easy way out, and then I'll repent. That's not repentance. You can't play games with God. That's lying. That's not real. Just like, well, I'm going to do this thing that's wrong, and then I'm going to repent. I'm going to cheat my employer, get away, and then I'll go repent. That's not repentance. Repentance means you would never do it if you had a chance again. And so if you did that to me, I'd say, like, wait a minute. You would do it over again because I knew what you just did. You played a game. And you can't trick God. You can maybe trick me. You can trick yourself. You can't trick God. So it's really an issue of repentance. So if you're already married, I would not have you divorce. Okay? Everybody's like, whew, thank you, Lord. Because we have people in our congregation who have lived together before marriage, have divorced, and for all kinds of reasons. It's an issue of repentance. What does that mean? That means you look back on your marriage and you look, what did I do wrong? And I need to repent of that. And depending on what the reasons were, and you're like, you know, yeah, I took the easy way out and I shouldn't have. I mean, guys, and this is difficult because I have it so much better now than I would have in that other marriage because it was just some really tough situations. And I remember when I was going through counseling for like a year afterwards, I was just kind of meeting with another pastor, not really counseling, but just support because she was gone and we were separated and the divorce wasn't final. And he goes to me, Doug, what would you do if she'd come back? Okay, you know, we're really down the road of separation. And I go, well, I'd want to do it right, but it'd really be hard. I mean, it was a thought experiment. And you got to do that. You got to go, Lord, what would I do? And it's not, well, you don't understand my situation. God does. And if what you did was wrong, you have to repent of it. You know, here's the example. Let's say somebody single and they want to get remarried. And I go, well, you do repent. Oh, yeah, I repent. I did wrong. Okay, so when you're remarried and you're in a difficult marriage, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get out again. If I don't like it, I'm getting out. Okay, that's not repentance. You know, if you as a person were divorced, whatever the reasons, and then you want me to remarry, and you're like, oh yeah, divorce is an option again. First of all, it's not repentance. Second of all, I wouldn't marry you. I mean, there are legitimate reasons, but it's not just like for any reason, if it doesn't work out, I'm getting out. So you got to look at your heart, because there's people in here who are probably divorced. You're going to run across people who are divorced. And let's just figure, honestly, there might be no adultery, no abandonment. And abandonment can be kind of broad. You know, you just didn't get along and you took the easy way out or whatever. You're always fighting and arguing. And you got to look back and say, Lord, if you were in my life, if I was doing it over, what would I do? What should I do? And that's hard. That's a difficult discussion to have with yourself, with a pastor, with God. But it needs to be done because there's grace. But there's also a call for repentance, to do something the right way, given a second chance. Because if you want to remarry, then you should be able to do it right the second time, because if you don't repent from the first time, what if the second time the same problems happen? Now, some people say, I'm giving you almost a limitless excuse as long as you repent. And I get it. There's some truth to that. Because there's grace. But it's got to be real repentance. It's an issue. Now, even if you repent and it's sincere, some pastors would still disagree with where I'm going with this. And I get it. It's a difficult issue. But I tell you what, like that 22-year-old girl, she made a mistake. She did. He made a mistake. I don't know where he's at. But if she repents, and she's legitimately repenting, to say she can never marry again or it's adultery, it's like, what are you saying? That's the unforgivable sin? No, there's grace. But there has to be true repentance. But if she said, well, yeah, it didn't work out, and if I remarry and it happens again, I'll just get out again. That's not repentance. Repentance is, yes, I'll do whatever I can within my power as a Christian to do what's right. So is it too casual to some people? Yes. I'm trying to follow Scripture and do what Scripture says. And next week we'll go into abandonment. And that's kind of, you know, a little more ambiguous, because adultery is pretty obvious. Sexual immorality tends to be pretty obvious. How far down does that go? Because when does, let's say, an addiction to pornography become a sexual sin and abandonment? And again, we weren't giving clear, specific guidelines with everything. And we sometimes want just simple answers. And sometimes as a pastor, it's just easier to say, no, you can't remarry. That's a simpler answer. That's just what Jesus said. But I think it's a little more involved than that. And yet I want to do what's right before God. Because if someone comes to me, they're divorced and they're single and they want to remarry, we need to address those issues. If someone says, Doug, you know, I'm divorced and I'm remarried, I mean, what does that mean? We've got to discuss issues of repentance. I wouldn't make them divorce. And everybody's case is really different, because I've talked with people. You talk with me. It's not always so clear cut. But if a person's going to come and say to me, you know, Doug, you have no right to say anything. I got divorced. It was the right thing to do. And you can't say anything about it. Well, you know, I can't, but God can. And if you don't want to deal with it, you don't want to repent, you don't want to accept God's grace, it's only going to hurt you. Because God cares about you. And God wants your next marriage to work. You should want your next marriage to work. I want your next marriage to work. And you know, here's the thing. I've said this before in this last couple of weeks. You got to admit, in some ways, this is ambiguous. Jesus really left some things open. You know, didn't define sexual immorality for us. They seem to all know. And why is that? Why didn't God just give us like 35 lists of exactly how to lay it out? And I think because he cares about our heart. Because if your heart's right with God, I believe you'll do what's right. You'll work through it. And that's why I talk about grace and repentance. For me, because I'm divorced, just because I can argue my wife divorced me, at one point I had made the comment to a friend, because she wasn't doing anything, we were separated, I go, I think I'll legally do what she has spiritually and emotionally done. And he thought I was crazy. He thought I was biblically totally wrong and in sin. I don't know. But God cares about our heart. And I think that's why some ways there's some gray areas. So in the case of divorce, I maybe have confused you this morning, because it can be a little confusing. Maybe it's like, okay, I get it, Doug. We want to follow Scripture. We want to live in grace and repentance. We want to live right before God. And yes, sometimes that is very difficult. Repentance can be very difficult. To look in the mirror and say, what did I do wrong? But grace is so wonderful. Grace is amazing. I like to joke, I'm so into grace, both my daughter's middle name is Grace. There's just so much grace for all our mess-ups. And God's there. Yes, he's given us rules to live by, but he's not a taskmaster who beats us down with them. He gave them for our own protection, out of his own love, and out of his own grace. And again, if this is somewhat confusing you, we're going to address it next week. And if you want to talk to me individual, you're more than welcome as we close here, living a life of hope and grace in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you've given us. Even in a difficult sermon like this, a difficult topic, Lord, let your light shine in all things. In a fallen world where divorce happens more than it should, sometimes for just reasons, for reasons that unfortunately have to take place, and other times just because of our own selfishness and sin. Lord, let us walk in your grace, Lord. Let us have hearts of repentance for this issue and all issues, in our anger towards each other, in all things, Lord. Let us walk in your grace. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.